Breathe in Space contains mature content such as substance abuse, sexual situations, and violence. This episode contains mentions of death and trauma, family separation, divorce, aggression toward, and mistreatment of service workers, and alcohol use.
The person you are trying to reach is not accepting calls at this time. Please record a message starting with a 2-second pause. Say send when finished.
Hey, Aurora. I know it's been a while since I left you a message. For a time, there was a part of me that wondered how long I was supposed to wait to hear back from you. But I'm settling into the idea I never will. It hurts a lot to admit that. But I can't give up. I still choose to believe you're there. If I don't, I might just lose my head. Oh, shit. I didn't mean it like it sounds. Ah, fuck! Listen. Things aren't easy lately. This constant threat of change makes it feel like I'm not in control. Try as I might, it's still hard to find a reason to let it. I keep doing these things that I'm told to every day, clinging to this idea that I'll find some peace along the way. Will I? No idea. But I'll continue to face things until I do. Kiddo, if there's only one lesson you learn in life, I hope it's that there's always a reason for the pain. Doesn't mean you should seek it out or stop yourself from lessening it. But if you learn from it, it means it wasn't all for naught. It'll help you from falling apart when things spin out of control. The universe screaming that everything is against you. Don't feel like you can only tough it out or cry to get through it. There's nothing wrong with just being until you're on the other side. It might make you stronger, it might not. But you can do no wrong in facing it. I'm certain I've been talking to a deadline at this point. But I'm still hoping you get these messages. Until I hear from you, I'll continue to hold on. Even if it's just barely. Love you. Send.
Welcome. Eros, Venus, or Jupiter?
Are you still open?
We are. It's pretty close to closing, but take a seat. I've still got a couple things to button up. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Is it okay if I sit at the counter then?
Not exactly what I meant, but of course.
Sorry for coming in so late. Oh, shit. You close in 5 minutes, don't you? I'll come back some other time.
It's fine. Sit.
You sure?
Absolutely.
All right, then. I appreciate it. Where can I put my bag? I don't want to mess up your floors.
One of the other chairs is fine. Have you been in before?
First time. I don't want to hold you up by taking forever. Could you offer any flavor recommendations?
Chocolate is popular. People rave about how close it tastes to the real thing. Personally, I can't recommend the Rocky Belt enough if you're looking for something with a bit more flavor and texture. We can put together a sampler with a few scoops if you can't pick just one.
That sounds great.
Let me finish up here and I'll get it.
As the legal battle ramps up, rumors continue to circulate around the true blame for the Hephaestus hydrogen spill over northern Mars' atmosphere. While some fault the Hephaestus fuel company who commissioned the ship, others point to gross negligence on the part of workers at Delaney Shipyard. According to NNN's anonymous sources, verified accounts of cutting corners, willful disregard for safety, and failure to conduct mandatory inspections are said to be the blame for the failed hull. Tune in for our special report, Torn Titanium and Tear Gas, Friday at 7 p.m. Universal Standard Time. In other stories, lunar magnate Althea Gusto is making waves again, this time for announcing the purchase of Perihelion Pharmaceuticals, a company born of former Yukon researchers and doctors. Estimates place the purchase at $989 million, as the company holds numerous patents and conducts cutting-edge research. Among them, treatments for cancer, Parkinson's, and Hansen's disease. When asked why he was moving into the pharmaceutical sector during the press conference announcement, Mr. Augusto said,
"Because money. You have to be stupid not to see the potential. You know how many people out there need this shit? It's a cash cow. Besides, now that Yukon bit the big one, someone gotta take control of market share before it turns into a fuckfest. And not the good kind. Oh shit, don't tell my lawyer I said that."
When asked whether he foresaw any potential conflicts arising between this buyout and the recent legal troubles faced by the Church of Lunar Prosperity, the religious sect whose adherents include a large percentage of Luna's most influential and financially advantaged individuals, including at least six of his former spouses, Mr. Augusto laughed and walked off the stage.
Ugh, this blowhard. Anything to make a buck. Don't know why I'd expect anything else.
What's that?
No, just commenting about the talking head.
Oh, yeah. I don't care for him much myself. Too much hyperbole.
Why watch it, then?
Entertainment, mostly. Isn't that what it's meant to be?
I guess. In my experience, I've found that when someone is put in a place where they can influence others, they abuse it.
Good thing I don't take him seriously. Hearing a voice while I close breaks up the monotony. Plus, gives me something to talk to customers about.
Pretty lucky for me you were still open. I've wanted to try some of your ice cream ever since I caught the Delta V dining episode. Jesse was giving it such high praise. Though I expected more people to be in here, even this late. You're BF, right?
Sure am. Fans of the show know right away. It's weird having people you've never met act like they know you.
Does it happen a lot?
Several times a week. I think I underestimated the show's fandom. But being on DVD brought in new faces with stories to tell. For that, I'm pretty thankful.
Why thankful?
An ice cream shop isn't that far off from a drinking establishment. Plenty of stories to go around, smiles to share, and tears to shed. Something about it comforts people.
Do you hear many of them?
Only every day. Though as of late, it seems the variety of people telling those stories decreased. Might be my imagination, but feels like fewer tourists from Terra.
Might just be an ebb and flow. Always wondered if those shows had any effect on business. Glad to hear it did.
There's a decent amount of setup that goes into it, so it's sort of the trade-off.
Shame the show went off the air, though. You can really tell Jesse's heart was in it.
No, it'll be back.
Really?
I have it on good authority, but you didn't hear it from me.
Oh, do tell.
Well, he retained the rights when his Yukon contract was voided. It was the first thing he wanted to make under his new production company. What did he call it? Unnoticed cake media? Something like that. But you also didn't hear this from me.
I look forward to it. Hey, it looks like it's officially closing time.
Oh, thanks. Let me lock up.
Again, I'm really sorry.
Oh, stop apologizing. It isn't any inconvenience.
So, what's been happening with Mars lately? News makes it sound like nothing but tragedy and political drama. The Hephaestus spill, the AMALA passing. And I heard an advertisement about a gunfight of all things. What was it? Red River Shootout? Is that bringing more people into the city?
Red Riviera Bloodbath? And not really. It's held in New Monaco. Well, maybe a few as people leave while it's going on.
Leave the city?
They can stay, but it generally isn't recommended. A spectator came through after the last one with a hole in their leg. They were on the fifth floor of a hotel, too. Still trying to figure that one out.
Thrill seekers are weird.
So, did you make a decision on what you wanted?
Yeah, can I get that chocolate and Rocky Belt you mentioned? Maybe some mint chip.
Coming right up. So, what brings you this way then? Kind of late to be wandering around, isn't it?
Personal reasons.
Aren't they all?
There was some business I couldn't use work as an excuse to avoid any longer. Came from Delaney to take care of it. Been a while since I've had boots on the ground, so I thought I'd spend the day walking around seeing the sights when I finish.
How long's it been?
I can't remember. Never had a reason to. Don't know if I would have if it wasn't for...
Wasn't for what?
I don't need to bother you with it. You're doing enough for me here. Thanks. This looks amazing. Ugh, it's pretty damn good. You're right, this Rocky Belt is something else. Are those walnuts? God, I can't remember the last time I had walnuts.
And?
Unavoidable relationship business.
Care to elaborate?
I might need something a little stronger than chocolate if we're going down this road.
Oh, you're in luck. We've been experimenting with a whiskey-infused ice cream, the flavor modeled after Terran-based distilleries from the 1800s.
Let me guess. You're calling it Irish cream.
As a working name. We're waiting until we perfect the recipe.
Oh. I had to meet my ex-wife and her new family at a legal office.
Why on Mars would you need to do that in person in this day and age?
It was about finalizing our divorce.
Can't a divorce be done through terminals?
We needed to do the breaking of oath and bond. It was more of a symbolic show than anything. Legally, we've been divorced for years.
Sorry to hear that. Don't know that I've ever heard of a breaking of oath and bond.
It's a Church of Lunar Prosperity thing. She's getting remarried. Her in-laws to be are among the faithful.
Oh, yeah?
Divorce isn't the issue. Couldn't be, given how many of the congregation have had one. In order for the new marriage to be official, though, there's a sort of lack of a better way to put it, ritual that has to be done. Something about showing the old relationship is cosmically over in order for the new marriage to be socially acceptable. Separating parties have to get together and destroy something symbolic of their dissolved bond. The more expensive, the better.
Huh.
Frankly, I didn't fucking understand it at all. But I guess well-off lunar families get whatever they want.
Interesting. That means you had to come to Mars and...
We had to go before an arbiter. Not a judge, mind you. To make it stranger... Members of his family, her family, and a couple members of the community were present. All gathered there to watch us destroy the symbol. Mind you, tons of different symbols they'll allow, but we used our wedding rings. So, we're in the arbiter's offices. And as everyone watched, we tossed the rings into a small crucible and waited until they both merged into an unidentifiable mess.
Everyone just stood around and watched?
Nah, there was an attempt at making it meaningful by spewing word vomit as it happened. I tuned out after they started talking about how ending a marriage calls into question the character of the people splitting. Ceremony was supposed to erase that, I guess. Actually, Cassie forgot my ring was made out of tungsten when hers was titanium. They were thinking it would be done soon after I tossed mine in, but ended up having to bring in someone to crank up the heat.
They struggle to find more grandiose phrases to say as the little circus unfolded in the room.
Don't you think you might have saved yourself some trouble if you were upfront about the rings?
The story behind those rings is infuriating. So I considered my omission an act of karma. I'm sure I had a big dumb smile on my face the entire time.
If you say so.
She's lucky I kept my ring at all. There were several times over the years I've come close to selling it off. Nearly did one time.
Was there any reason you didn't?
For a while, it was a thing I just sort of ignored. I was in need of creds given other life events, but not so hard up I needed to get rid of it. Instead, I held on to it for an emergency. One time I found myself with no prospects and nothing to get by on, so I tried to sell it.
But you didn't.
Turns out I didn't need to. Ended up with a job not long after. Not the best paying, but it was something.
Did you change your mind in the middle of it?
Funny thing. It wasn't until Cassie contacted me to set up the appointment for all this that I reflected on the conversation that stopped me.
And that's the bell. Soul Survivors demolished.
Good day. How can I help you?
Looking to get rid of a ring. What are you paying these days?
Depends on the ring. Quality of the settings, gems, materials, all factors.
Tungsten.
Well, I'll take a look. Tungsten doesn't fetch much. Galaxy's littered with rocks full of it. But all it's good for is bullets and machining, my friend.
So, how much are we talking?
Just a moment. What's the compound?
Carbide.
Scanner confirms carbide. Looks like 25 grams. Based on today's rates, I'll buy it for 48.
That's it? You've got to be fucking kidding me!
Tungsten is useful, but it isn't very valuable. I can't help that. If we were talking about mahogany or oak, that'd be something else.
But 48? Can't you do a little more? Station vouchers? Fucking something!
It is what it is, pal. Do you want to sell it or not?
Fucking 48. I can't believe this bullshit. Fine. I'm not in the mood to draw this out.
Fill out your information in the terminal, please. Now, I'm not telling you what to do here, but the look on your face tells me you don't want to go through with this deal.
Yeah? Why's that?
Because you're giving off a vibe. I've seen that face too many times. All I'll say is that often people come back saying they made a mistake and want whatever they sold back. With metals, that's impossible. You aren't getting much for this ring, so it's not breaking my back to not buy it.
Doesn't mean anything to me anymore. That part of my life, it's behind me.
Is it? At this moment, it doesn't seem so. I don't know what your situation is, and I don't care to. Something tells me you aren't willing to let go, but your brain is trying to convince your heart this is the thing it needs to do.
It's a decision made purely of necessity. This is the only thing of any value I have to sell. It's time that I do so.
People come through during rough patches, full of regret, sadness, fear, and especially desperation. It's easy to spot. And you, my friend, you aren't there yet.
That's fine and fucking dandy, but I need the creds. I haven't worked in weeks, and it's about time.
That's something you have to deal with. Hard times are hard for a reason. If everything was easy, there wouldn't be anything worth having. I'm in an advantageous position to benefit from people in difficult times, but I can also recognize when my hand shouldn't tip the scale.
Can you get to the fucking point?
I'm saying I won't be buying the ring. Too much hassle.
That's fucked up!
That's life.
Then what the fuck am I supposed to do in the meantime then, huh?
Hold on to the ring until you're truly ready to close that chapter of your life. Until then, you're an adult. Figure it out.
Thanks for nothing, asshole! Can't fucking believe this. Not ready. Who does that pompous prick think he is? As much as I hate to admit it, he was right. It wasn't so much I couldn't let go. I'd dealt with it long before that. I was unsuccessfully wrestling with regrets, and accepting reconciliation wasn't an option.
Relationships can be hard. I've seen all sorts come through. They may not always take the path we expect, especially when it isn't the way we want them to, but we have to take from them what we can. There's no good without some bad.
Not the easiest thing to believe in your 20s. Everything is a personal affront to your sensibilities.
It can take some time to harmonize and accept that not everything is working against you.
As in, life always comes to some sort of equilibrium? Years ago, I would have said that's a far-fetched notion.
If you don't mind me asking, what happened?
It's a long story. I appreciate I was able to come in so late, so I don't need to stretch it out any longer.
The way I see it, the universe put you here for a reason.
That's the second time someone said something like that to me.
Really? Sounds like a smart person then.
Oh, I didn't think so at the time.
Regardless, we're closed up and chatting over ice cream already. As long as you have the time, so do I.
If you say so. My wife Cassie and I started our relationship young. We dated for about a year before I proposed. Our first year as newlyweds was rough. And it became a bit more challenging when we welcomed our daughter into the world.
How old were you?
Early 20s. Just old enough to think we knew what we were doing.
How did you balance everything?
Poorly. I was putting in ridiculous hours to try and earn a promotion, even after Aurora was born. I wasn't invested as much as I should have been. I knew it, but I was stuck in this idea that I was doing what had to be done to provide for everyone.
Tough line to tread.
Cassie would let me have it when I was gone for too long. It had to be frustrating for her, always taking care of a young kid with little to no help from the other person you depend on.
I take it that things never improved.
Not really. When I moved for work, there were already several nails in the proverbial coffin. I say I, because Cassie under no circumstances wanted to go. After days of fights, we decided I'd accept my fate and send money back home. Biggest mistake of my life to go. Looking at it now, I understand how she felt. Our relationship was already falling apart with my absence, so this was more fuel on the fire.
Any rational person could see it that way.
I thought I was doing everything I could.
You probably were.
People like to think that long-distance relationships are maintainable. They don't realize how hard it is once you don't see face-to-face. The distance grows into a void until connections aren't sustainable. You forget the little things, expressions, the look in their eyes when they tell you they love you.
You were doing your best.
But it didn't change the fact I wasn't there.
What the fuck is this, Cassie?
Can't you read? I want a divorce.
Why?
The fact you're asking is evidence enough. How would you classify a relationship, Good? Bad? Hanging on by a thread?
I think we're making it work here.
It's fucking non-existent, Anton. You haven't been home in years. I'm taking care of our daughter by myself. Providing for the two of us the best I can given the circumstances. Did you even say-
You know damn well I've been trying to get home. They won't let me. It's always canceled at the last minute.
What about before you were transferred? Would you say we're putting enough effort into our relationship? Or being a father to our daughter?
How can you say that to me, Cassie?
because it's true. You've hardly been in our relationship, hell, in our family, since we were married. You were always gone. Nothing's changed.
I have to work to provide for everyone. If I wasn't putting in the time, we wouldn't be able to get by at all. I'm not picking between my job and my family. I'm choosing to work for the sake of my family.
And that's what it boils down to. Time and choice. You chose to spend your time working rather than with your family.
You think I haven't tried to get back?
I'm done. Sign the fucking papers, Anton. Clearly the company is more important than your family.
I refused to sign the documents at first. There was one specific sticking point I couldn't tolerate. It was spelled out I would voluntarily give up my parental rights.
Damn.
There was no damn reason. I was trying to support my daughter and be in her life. But someone along the way decided it wasn't enough. Had the fucking audacity to call it token efforts. I never dug deep into why. Too angry to think straight. Cassie and I argued about it for weeks. It was strange, though, because she was giving up inch by inch every time we spoke.
Why was it strange? Wait, did you say earlier that she is marrying into a lunar family?
Yeah.
How well off?
Rich enough to get me here on their dime. Shit, they even put me up in a 4-star for the night. Can't say I know the family all that well, but some big shots on the northern part.
Could be what you said earlier. Societal considerations.
She made all those concessions to speed up the process to be married?
Maybe.
Huh. Not sure what to think about that. If she was honest about it, we could have worked it out and not argued. I would have committed to whatever she wanted if it was explained to me. What hit me the hardest was how much less I was going to be in my daughter's life. The whole ordeal left me at a loss. I really felt like an absentee father at that point. Killed me because it was completely out of my hands. It was a decision put before me. Walk away and lose my daughter, or work on the requisite things to earn joint custody. No way in hell I was doing the first.
What'd you have to do?
Nothing outlandish. Prove I'm living a life that can reliably provide for the essentials.
That sounds reasonable.
It proved a bit challenging for me with my trouble finding a job. Hard to have long-term housing or a stable income.
How about any visitation? Any progress to be made there?
Frankly, I'm still working on it. I had stable employment, but that's off the table now. Nothing awful happened. There was just a bit of trouble in the suitable place to live department.
Were you living somewhere dangerous?
No, but it wasn't the kind of environment I wanted a kid to be in. I felt like I could do better. That way I could give her a home to truly visit instead of a place to lay her head at night.
So you were close, and now you're starting over.
Basically.
And you think that was...
a good choice.
Really?
Because it made me realize something. I need a little more time. It's been a long time since I've been a father. Longer since I've been a present one. But before all that, I need to solve the problem I have with not accepting who I am. I went through a not small number of changes to be where I am, to adapt and survive. Whole ordeal was arduous, indisputable the last several years. But a constant throughout was how I questioned myself.
It's natural for a person to evaluate their place in all things.
It isn't just that. Part of me understands the reason things happened the way they did was me. I let myself become...
Well, of course it was.
Huh?
Our personalities are the culmination of every experience we've gone through. How we were raised, who we associate with, what we've learned. Number of times we fail. The way we love. We get in our own way at every step. You gained your family early in life when you were still figuring yourself out. There were bound to be mistakes, and a lot of them, as you tried to make everything work.
Sure, I couldn't fix it then.
You still can't. It's in the past. You aren't the same person you used to be. I get the feeling you're looking at things from the wrong angle. You're stuck on this idea that there are issues to fix before being ready to parent again.
Well, yeah. What if I mess up this time?
What do you mean if? You will.
Please, don't sugarcoat it.
Look, you have flaws. Everyone does. Some of them you work past. Most of them you end up living with. You will never rid yourself of them. They are part of what makes us human. Make them a part of who you are instead of running from them.
I get where you're going, but I don't need to fuck this up again.
You won't.
Okay, now you're confusing me.
I'm trying to impress that there's no simple answer. Never will be, in fact.
Shouldn't I want to find an answer? To do it right the first time?
By your own admission, it's stopping you from advancing.
So now you're telling me to throw logic to the wind and stumble my way forward?
Yes. What happens, happens. You'll never discover the perfect answer. The opportunities before you won't last forever.
But what
if... But what? How long will you ponder what-ifs while the distance between you and your daughter grows?
I need to get everything straightened out first.
You're overthinking it. And what is overthinking?
The best way to prepare for all eventualities?
No.
An appropriate response for working through a delicate situation.
Oh, come on.
A flaw.
That's right. You've been out of your daughter's life long enough. Stop hiding and be a family again.
You know, I wasn't expecting to get a life lesson with my ice cream today.
I don't subscribe to fate myself, but like I said earlier, your journey put you here today. What you do because of it is up to you.
Well, I've taken up enough of your time tonight. Let me get out of your hair. What do I owe you?
Consider it on the house. Everything was counted before you came in.
Thank you. Sincerely. You are absolutely right. That Rocky Belt flavor is a winner. I'll make sure to come by again. Hopefully with my daughter.
Looking forward to it. Though, how about a little earlier next time?
No promises.
Hey, I never got your name.
Anton.
It's been a pleasure talking with you. You go by Anton? Tony?
No, it's... Actually, Tony's fine. Thank you for the ear, BF. Have a good night.
Anytime.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Breathing Space. This episode, Always Reason for the Pain, was written and directed by Jordan W. Anderson and edited by Amy Young.
Anton Proctor is voiced by Jordan W. Anderson.
BF was voiced by Jerry Harris.
Connor Holmes is voiced by Sock X.
Alfie Augusto is voiced by Scott Paladin.
The Pawnbroker is played by Lafayette Terrapon.
Sandra Proctor is voiced by Mario Pincaro.
With additional voice work by Aubrey Akers. Our theme, Blues for the Black, was composed by Michael Freitag with vocals by Jeremiah and lyrics by Scott Paladin. You can find links to learn more about our cast and crew in the show notes and all about our show at our website, breathingspace.lawofnames.com. Breathing Space is a Law of Names production.